Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, and this morning we're going to chapter 17, Luke chapter 17. I certainly want you to be aware of the schedule of our Bible conference. Especially next Lord's Day, we begin at 10 o'clock for our first service, and then we'll have a little break, and then the second service will begin at 11, and so that's a bit different than we usually have, and so I hope that you will bear that in mind next Lord's Day. Luke chapter 17, my subject is Give Glory to God. Give glory to God. Our Lord Jesus heals 10 lepers in this portion of Scripture in Luke 17, 11 through 19. He grants healing mercies to these men who had a death sentence. The death sentence was not issued by men. It wasn't for any crimes specifically that they had done, but rather it was the death sentence of an awful disease, a disease that would end in death unless God himself intervened. Now, our Lord Jesus often performed miracles throughout his public ministry. There was no disease that he ever met that he couldn't conquer. There was no demon who possessed anyone but what he couldn't cast the demon out. There was even no issue of death but what our Lord Jesus, who is life, could not bring back the dead from that state of death and give them life. We read a verse in Acts, the second chapter, and you need not turn to it, but it's at the beginning of Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. And he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you," and the word approved means demonstrated or one who was set forth among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Our God indicated he approved of Jesus of Nazareth by the great deeds that the Savior performed. Even when Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus by night, he readily acknowledged the ability of this great teacher who had come from God to do mighty miracles. Nicodemus said unto him, that one who came to Jesus by night, he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And during the days of our Lord's earthly ministry, there were multitudes who received temporal outward benefits of the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, who were healed of their diseases, and he never met a disease that he couldn't conquer. There were multitudes who were healed of their physical ailments who never experienced the healing of the soul. You see, our Lord Jesus, he never turned anyone away. And there were many people who came to him not in faith to believe him as the Savior, not seeking salvation, not seeking any saving grace, but seeking only a relief from whatever their physical infirmity might have been. And they never saw him as the great physician of souls. Others came to him who had deaf ears. And they indicated to him, perhaps on a tablet, but they indicated to him, we need the healing, I need the healing to hear. And he granted them that ability to hear, but he did not give to them the ability to hear the gospel with an inward ear. You know, he said to his people, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But he did not give to everybody to whom he gave physical hearing, he did not give to all of them the ability to hear the spiritual voice of God in the soul. Likewise, there were many blind people who came to him. Oh, that I might receive my sight. And to them he gave sight. They were perhaps blind from birth. And they couldn't even see the brightness of the noonday sun. They said, oh, show me mercy, Son of David. Give me sight. And to them he gave sight. He never turned anybody away when they sought from him healing mercies. And he gave to them the sight that they wanted, and yet he was not pleased to give them spiritual eyesight, to see the glories of him who had healed them physically. Others touched him physically. Others touched his body, rubbed up against him, bumped up against him as they walked, because oftentimes many people crowded around him. But they received no healing virtue of the soul from just touching the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to be touched by him, touched by him with the healing of grace, of mercy, of life. But he didn't heal everyone that touched him. Or lots of children who came to him. He said, of such is the kingdom of God. Don't hinder them from coming to me. And children of all ages could approach to Jesus of Nazareth as he sat perhaps on a park bench. And they came up to him, and maybe their mom and dad said to them, there's Jesus of Nazareth over there. Do you want to go see him? Uh-huh. And he went over there and he held out his arms because he was very compassionate. He was very approachable. He was very tender-hearted. He is the perfect man, remember. And the children would crawl up in his lap. He would embrace them. But he would only embrace them physically. He did not embrace all of them spiritually. There were many who tasted the bread that he had miraculously multiplied. A little lad had a couple of fish and five little barley loaves. And 5,000 men plus women and children were the recipients of a vast buffet at the hands of the sovereign, miracle-working Christ. He just multiplied the food, and they ate. They ate of him who is himself the bread of life. And the very next day, he identified himself as being the bread come down from heaven. My Father sent me, he said. I am the bread of life. And they ate of the literal bread that he provided for them, but they never ate of him spiritually. In fact, of all the myriads who then followed him due to eating of the bread and of the fishes, they all left him. At the end of John chapter 6, they all forsook him because of his doctrine. They said, these are hard sayings. Who can hear them? They did not feast on him who is the true bread who came down from heaven. There were many who drank of the water that he had changed to wine at his very first miracle in Cana of Galilee. When the wine was running out, all was left was the barrels of water. And he miraculously made those barrels of water to be the best wine that had ever been made. And people drank of it, and they said to the owner, to the head of the feast, this is the best we've ever had. Usually you get the best first, and when everybody's well drunk, then you get the cheap stuff. But they said, you've saved the best till last. Till last. And they drank of the wine. But they didn't drink of the wine of the gospel that makes the soul to rejoice, that makes the soul happy in Christ Jesus, with the thought of forgiveness of sins and righteousness imputed, and all is well with God, and I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the golden elixir of the wine of the gospel. Drink and be filled, child of God. Never fear drinking of the wine of the gospel too much. You cannot be overly taken up with the wine of the gospel. But most of the people who drank of that literal wine that he himself had changed from water, most of them did not drink of the wine of the gospel. And in this miracle that we have before us in Luke chapter 17, there's another instance of this. Because as we shall see, there were 10 men who were lepers. And our Lord Jesus, upon hearing them say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Have mercy on all of us. And he did. And of all the 10 that were healed, only one went back to thank him. Only one was healed of his spiritual leprosy. Listen, all of us in times of illness, and when faced with a disease, we want physical healing. Lord, spare me. I corresponded yesterday to a man who has lung cancer. And I said, I pray that God will give you some relief. Perhaps God will heal you. And I hope he does. I hope he does. It's only natural to want healing of a physical ailment. Nobody wants to feel bad. Nobody wants to hurt. And we don't want to see others feeling bad, and we don't want to see them hurting. And we pray, oh God, if it's your will, heal. Grant healing. But there's another kind of healing that is much more needed. Oh, that God would show us this. There's another healing which is much more needful, much more vital. It may be or it may not be concerning your physical ailment that God will heal you, that God will touch you. And there have been multitudes, all who've gone before, people who have died of sickness, of illness, of diseases. That's a way of life. That's what happens to us. We're born, we live, we get sick usually and die, unless we die due to an accident. But that which we must long for and seek after is the mercy of God for our souls in Christ Jesus. The healing of the soul, the healing of the mind, the healing of the heart. And this healing only comes about through the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, with His stripes you were healed. The stripes that God put on His soul. That's how we're healed of our spiritual ailments. Folks, we're sick spiritually. We're sick inside of us. We're sick in the heart. We're sick in the soul. We're sick in the mind. We're diseased. And the only thing that's going to happen to us unless God intervenes is certain death. That's what awaits us. Oh, that God would heal us. Oh, God grant healing. The healing of the soul. Look at the text. 17:11. Chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Understand this. Our Lord he's headed toward Jerusalem for the last time. This is his last visit to Jerusalem. He's on the homeward journey now. Now, from old eternity, he has been pointing to the event of his death. He is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He's the one God has appointed to be the Savior of sinners, and he would save sinners by his substitutionary sacrifice, that is, the sacrifice of himself. He's always been going toward Calvary. He's always been going toward Jerusalem. He set his face, Isaiah says, as a flint for Jerusalem. And now he's on his final journey. And he's not making this journey reluctantly. He knows what's ahead. But he goes forth for the joy that was set before him. The joy of saving us. The joy of redeeming us. The joy of reconciling us to God. The joy of putting away all the multitudes of the sins of his people. And so he goes toward Jerusalem. He goes to lay down his life. He's the good shepherd who will give his life for the sheep. He goes to taste death for all of the Father's children. He goes to lay down his life and then take it again. He goes to do the work, and then he will say with his dying breath, he will cry out, "It is finished," and he will yield up the ghost. Nobody takes his life from him. He's the perfect Son of God. He would lay down his life at the exact precise moment ordained for him in the old eternity in the covenant of grace. And so he's on his way to Jerusalem. He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, not stopping along the way, but making his journey right toward Jerusalem. In verse 12, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They were cut off from society, you see. And lepers, they stuck to themselves. They had to. They couldn't meet. They couldn't meet in the synagogue with the people. They had this awful, deadly disease. There was the fear of giving the disease to someone else. And so they're ostracized from the synagogues. They're ostracized from society. Nobody wanted them around, and they didn't want to be around others. If anyone came toward them, they were supposed to put a cloth over their face and say, unclean, unclean. They weren't even supposed to breathe on anybody else, lest others be infected. These were lepers who were cut off. They stood afar off. And you see, leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. That's all of us. See, all 10 of these men had the same disease. There were no distinguishable differences in their misery. Oh, there were some differences among these men, different background, different education, different families. One of them, at least one of them, was a Samaritan. Well, we see that in the scripture a little bit later on. They had a lot of differences among them, but they all had this in common. They were all lepers. They all had the same problem, a deadly disease that is going to end in death. And in this, we see ourselves. We all have this deadly disease. It's called sin. We do come from different backgrounds, different educational levels, perhaps different economic levels, different families. Lots of differences among all of these people, all of you folks here and those who are watching by way of the internet. And yet, here's what brings us together. One common problem. That's what brings us together. That's where we're all alike. And there aren't big sinners and little sinners. We're just sinners across the board. We all have spiritual leprosy. You're infected. I'm telling you. No, it's not me that's telling you. It's the Word of God that says we're infected. We're all diseased. We're diseased with spiritual leprosy. We're sick in sin. That is our common malady. Notwithstanding the differences that we have, here is the one distinguishable thing that brings us together in unity, really, as the family of Adam. We're all guilty. That's what we got in common. We're all diseased. And therefore, we're cut off, not from society, because society is just like us. Society is just like us. And we're cut off not from the local church where the gospel goes forth, because everybody who's in here this morning, we're all alike in that. We're all sinful people. So we're not cut off from society in general. We're not cut off from the place of worship. Because this is a place where sinners can get together and hear the good news of Christ and his substitutionary work on the behalf of sinners. Well, who are we cut off from? God. God. We cannot approach Him. We cannot come near to Him. God is a consuming fire. He would destroy you if you could come to Him one-on-one without a mediator, which you can't. This is what we all have in common. We're all naturally, here's a Bible word, alienated from God. We're cut off from God. We're lepers. And we, like these 10, we stand afar off. Afar off. We can't come near, we can't come nigh to God on our own because of who He is and what we are. But these men had a good plea. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, what does that mean? Jehovah who saves. Oh, Savior, Master, that means overseer, Savior, you're the overseer of all things. You look after and watch after all things. You're the overseer. Have mercy on us. Have mercy. That's what we need. I don't want the wages of my disease. I don't want my disease to play out in death. I want mercy. This is their cry. And verse 14 says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 14. Look in Leviticus chapter 14. As they went, he didn't cleanse them immediately. But it's kind of like one writer said, a promise in a shell. The very words that he said, go show yourself to the priest, seemed to indicate that there was some hope for them. Now here's the law of God pertaining to the pronouncement of the priests upon someone who had been healed of leprosy. Now there was no healing among men. There wasn't anything anybody could do to bring about the healing of leprosy. But God could. And God often intervened and he healed leprosy. Now here's the law pertaining to the lepers and the showing of themselves to the priest. Leviticus 14, are you there? All right, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. He's already healed. God has healed him. But it is the priest himself who must pronounce him to be clean. In order for him to go back into society, in order for him to go back into the synagogue or to the tabernacle, later into the temple, it's the priest who must give his blessing, as it were, and in his official capacity as one who dealt with men on the behalf of God, he must pronounce the healing has taken place. Verse 4, and then the priest shall command, he shall command for him that is to be cleansed, two birds alive, alive, and they must be clean birds, like pigeons or turtle doves. And then also cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. With me? Two birds, clean birds, turtle doves or pigeons. And then also cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command, verse 5, that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel. In an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and then he shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Here's the picture. Two birds. One lives, one dies. The one that dies, he's killed in an earthen vessel. Does that not put you in mind of the Lord Jesus Christ in this earthen vessel of flesh and blood? In his body, he must die. He must give his life if we're to be cleansed of our leprosy. If all of our guilt is to be washed away in the bloody flow that came down from Him at the cross of Calvary, then He must die. He must die in this earthen vessel, in this body of clay, over running water. That is, according to the water of the Word of God, according to the way God has laid down in His book. And then the living bird, you see, the bird that died, that represents the death of our Lord Jesus. There's no life for us unless Christ dies. The living bird represents the results of the death of the Lord Jesus. It represents His resurrection. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop, dipping them in the blood of the bird that was killed. The blood. Have you noticed? I know you have. That in the Bible, we're always put in memory of the blood. The blood. The blood of a bird. The blood of a goat. The blood of a lamb. The blood of a bullock. The blood of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. There is no cleansing of our leprosy apart from the blood. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. But as a result of that sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, He arose. He arose. There's our healing in His death and in His resurrection, in His blood. And the blood is indeed sprinkled upon us. We're washed as we sing. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. So as you go back over here to Luke chapter 17, here's what the Lord Jesus does. He sends him to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest. And they did. And as they went, when they cry out to the Savior, they have leprosy. I don't know what stage their leprosy is in because the Bible doesn't say. But there are 10 lepers, and all of them are infected. All of them are dying. Various stages. It's like all of us here this morning. We're in various stages of our disease, but one thing is for certain, we're going to die. We're all going to die physically. I sure don't want to die everlastingly. I don't want to die eternally. I want the eternal life that only Christ can give. And that eternal life is to know God and His Son, Christ Jesus, whom He sent. Here they are all diseased, and they begin going to the priest. And all of a sudden, they began to look at their hands. Joe, did you look at your hand? Claude? You don't see your face, Claude. You don't have any more spots. You don't have any disease. How do I look? Where's the nearest brook? Let me see if I can look and get a reflection of myself in the brook. Oh my, I've been healed. Oh, thank God I've been healed. And 9 of them went to the priest, declare us to be healed. And one of them said in his heart, I've got to go back and see the one who brought this to pass. I've got to go back and worship Him. And verse 15 says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice he glorified God and fell down on his face at His feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He got more than he bargained for. All he wanted was physical healing. But oh, the Lord did a work of grace within him. Something happened, something miraculous besides an outward healing, there was an inward healing, a healing of the soul. Oh, that's what's vital. That's what's got to happen. And nobody can heal of spiritual diseases but God alone. You can't heal yourself. You can't heal anybody else. I can't heal you. If I could, I would. But I can't. That's beyond my ability. I can't do it for myself, much less do it for you. The only one who can heal us of our spiritual diseases of leprosy is the one against whom we've sinned. And he's not obligated to do it. He doesn't owe us anything due to our own natural rebellion against him. But he is plenteous in mercy. He has never sent anybody away who came to him needing saving grace. I'm telling you the truth. He never said no. You come to him with a needy heart. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The Lord says, you will search for me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'm a poor leper in my soul. Oh my God, I need healing. Oh God, is there healing for me? Is there mercy for me? He never turned anybody away. Never has. None. And this man, he comes back and he falls on his face. He's worshiping the Lord Jesus. He's worshiping the great physician. And Jesus answering said, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Well, Lord, all they were interested in was a healing of the body. That was the extent of their interest in you. Where are the 9? They're on their way to see the priest. When God's great high priest was the one who healed them. But they didn't have any interest in any more healing. They weren't interested in glorifying God. But this man is. You see, something different has happened to him. And this is what we want. Oh, God, this is what we long for. We long for the healing of the soul. For the Lord to bring us to himself. It's as though the Lord Jesus was drawing him with cords of love. And there they all 10 begin to go toward the priest. And our Lord Jesus, in his omnipotence and in his effectual grace, he drew one of them back and one of them said, wait just a minute. I got to go back and thank this one who healed me. And I'll tell you what, as he was going back, God did something to his heart. Oh my goodness. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came back and he began to glorify God. And verse 18, Christ continued, there are not found that return to give glory to God except this one stranger. This one stranger. He's a Samaritan. He's a Samaritan. He's a stranger. And our Lord Jesus said, arise, go on your way. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith's in the right place. It's in me. I know the Lord gave him faith, no question about that. He couldn't believe without the gift of faith, but he's the one who believed. And my friend, you must believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, it's a miracle of grace. If you don't, it's your fault. He's a Savior who's free, who can be freely approached by anybody who needs Him. You need Him? Well, I want Him to heal me of this sore on my hand. What about healing your soul? Well, no, I think I'm all right on that. I think I've done enough good deeds that'll get me into heaven. Well, bless your heart, won't get you in. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit strips you down and shows you that you're nothing but a poor old leper, just like everybody else, and convinces you of your neediness before God, you'll come to Christ Jesus and you'll say, like Charlotte Elliott did in that song she wrote, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, here I come, here I come." May God bless His word to our hearts and heal us of our spiritual diseases, and we'll give God the glory. That's for sure. Let's sing a song, 300 and